Hey, Gladiators. This week, there's no new Scandal episode, but we have something very special for you here at AfterBuzz TV. Stay tuned after this. We've got a great interview coming up right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey.
Yes, I am.
Karaoke, come on. Somebody rip into it.
Who's going to take the charge? I think we're going to pass on that. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of your Scandal After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm so happy to be here this week. Although there isn't a new episode, we have something amazing planned for you guys. You guys know me. I'm your host, Christine, and I'm joined tonight by the full panel. We've got Tessa, Paris, and Jessica.
Hey!
But that's not all. We have none other than your favorite gladiator, one of my favorite gladiators, George Newbern, who plays Charlie.
Hello. How you doing? Yay.
Yeah. Glad to be here. Having a good time. Thank
yes. you. Thank you so much for like braving this awful LA rain right now.
Oh, it's fantastic. I was actually at the Burbank Airport doing some traffic control. And I thought I'd stop by. I'm just leaving it on because I may have to just hold on. Yeah, go ahead and land it. Yep. So here available for you.
For anyone who's listening and maybe not watching us live, George is making fun of our headsets here at AfterBuzz. Very air traffic control inspired or drive through inspired, depending on your vibe.
Yeah. True.
I'm kind of thinking like In-N-Out.
In-N-Out. Oh,
kind of hungry.
Good. I can do that right now. What's
your In-N-Out order when you go?
I usually get a number 2 grilled onions. Sometimes I'll switch out the sauce for mustard, ketchup, and switch that out. Add pickles occasionally.
Okay.
Always fries and a nice tea.
Ooh.
Iced tea, a little sweet, a little lemon.
But the real question is,
regular
or animal style fries?
Regular for me. My son likes animal style. I'll have a bite of it, but it's like too much. I mean, like
you gotta eat it with a fork.
Gotta eat with a fork. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. That's clutch that they gave us. That.
Half the country just like, what are they talking about?
I know. It's making its way in and out.
We're getting
there. Moving states for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you think it'll ever be in New York? That's like the way of it.
Oh, yeah. Boy. No, they have Steak and Shake, right?
Shake Shack, honey.
Shake Shack, my bad.
Shake Shack is good. I still think In-N-Out is better. I do.
I think there Shake Shack is
so
better.
So do I. But it must be the East Coast in us.
But you can't get a beer at Shake Shack at In-N-Out.
True.
But you can
Very
at Shake
true.
That's true.
All right. Well, now that we've got that, right?
We're all hungry, basically.
In-N-Out, can you like sponsor our next after show?
Yes.
Just saying. Yes. Well, we are here tonight to talk about Scandal, and I feel like this is like perfect timing that we've got you into the studio because last week things just went like a full 180 for your character.
Yeah.
So that's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't see it coming. I actually the writers told me the morning of the table read for this episode, I was going to be behind a lot of this stuff.
Really?
I was actually really with Cyrus and pulling the strings, but then literally my character changed. They changed the plot. It changes so quickly. They went, no, don't do that. We're going to go this way. So, and the day actually, the second season when I think I'd done about 6 or 7 episodes, in the morning I got there and I saw the pages that said, you know, I get it, and I was like, yeah, all right, yeah, okay. Well, I didn't know I'd done 5 episodes. I was like, well, I got 5 episodes out of it, so that's good.
What?
More than I thought I was going to do. Because it was just a guest spot, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in the morning, and then by lunch, they just sent us another color page. It was pink pages or whatever, is a green or, and they said, oh, I've got another speech. I got the speech. Oh, and it looks like I leave the scene alive. All right.
Yay! Wow.
So literally between that morning, saved my life. And a writer friend of mine, Mark Wilding, said that I've been saved 5 or 6 times on the show. Thank God. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's really crazy.
Listen, I got kids at college. I'm very happy. They kept me alive.
Yeah, to be on a show that spans 7 seasons, that's like unheard of.
It's unheard of. Yeah. I mean, it going forward, I mean, the cast were all talking. I was like, man, it just doesn't happen anymore, you know, unless you're on the Grey's Anatomy or whatever that goes.
That's true.
But Netflix and all these shows are 10-episode order or a big successful show is going to be two seasons of 10 episodes. That's wow. Like, yeah. That was a big hit. And then they're on to the next thing. It's like,
when's it come that far?
So you got to re-get that job over and over and over again.
So after seven seasons now to come that far.
Yeah.
We've had some emotional conversations up here. The fact that it's ending. And man, what do you feel? And where are you at in this?
You know, I have such such mixed feelings. Not mixed. I just have a lot of feelings about it because I've gotten so close to a lot of the cast. And it's just, you know, as an actor, you never really ever have a place to go to for more than, you know, a long job would be considered 6 weeks, you know. So 7 years, and then you go through breaks, and knowing you're coming back in the fall. And we knew it was a hit after the first year. I was like, and me especially, I didn't know if I was going to keep going. But after the fifth season, I was like, okay, I think I'm going to stay. So, it's really nice to be able to have a place that you go to where the cast is fun and the writers are fun and the material is, you know, amazing
and engaging and
it's being watched, because a lot of shows you do them, you feel like you're doing them in a vacuum. You've got, like, you know, 300,000 people watching. You're like, I guess people are watching. But there's like an avid fan base on the show, right. And it's gone up and down and stuff. But I think still the people that are still in there are very, very invested in the show, and that's nice too. So so my feelings would be, I would love to go longer, but Shonda, I guess, felt like, you know, it was time to sort of let the air out. Move on to the next
When did you guys find out this was going to be the last season?
I think the middle of last year. Okay. I mean, I think they had the guys before me, the folks who were regulars before I was, I think they had in their contracts an eighth year. But I think after the sixth season, Shonda sort of made a decision. She goes, you know what, I feel like they didn't. I think they started to go, where are we going with the story? And I get it. But I think it could have gone on at least another year. I was like, one more year.
Just one more.
Just make it to 10.
And then after that, just one more.
Just one more. Yeah, just exactly.
How was it actually working with Shonda Rhimes? Did you get to see her often? Was she on set all the time?
You know, she came, my first scene on the show was being tortured by Guillermo, Hug's character.
Yeah.
And she was there on the set that day. My first day on that scene, I was like covered in plastic, you know. With, you know, basically little skivvies and plastic and power tools. So that was interesting. But she doesn't come to the set much, actually. She's much more invested in the writing all day long. And she's running other shows and she's going around. Yeah. So she just really lets the producing director and the showrunner people just do their stuff, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, her influence is felt all throughout the show. So.
It is. She's also said that, and I get that when she comes down on the set, she goes, I always come down and people think something's wrong, and it's not. I think she doesn't want to freak people out. So she likes to keep the great Oz up in the other room.
Yeah. Well, we kind of danced around just, you know, the fact that your character may have gotten the axe several different times.
Yeah.
And, you know, you alluded to the fact that the writers keep finding ways to put you in there. What do you think is so special about Charlie and just your character and what he brings to the cast that has allowed him to survive this long?
I think mostly my dancing.
wait, we got to see some of this. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I look forward to it every episode.
I can show you. I think that you know, it's weird. It didn't start out as anything more than a normal Joe guy who happens to have been who happens to do bad things on the side, he's like a mercenary, basically a mercenary for hire, whoever, either the CIA or the government or the bad guy or whoever. He didn't care, I guess the writers liked what I was doing, and then they would like write a little more, and then I think ultimately it was a nice marriage between of what I could bring to it, and then also I think that the character played a part, the ability for them to tie a lot of storylines together. You
That's
know?
Very true.
I worked for almost everybody on that show, right? One way or another.
Man,
just like a
yes.
little cockroach going
traveling
around.
Traveling anyway. Man.
And then when I was involved with Katie, I pushed Quinn up against the wall and kissed her, I think that for me, I was like, okay, this is now, where's this going to go?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was pretty much down one track. Yeah. And then once that started happening, things started getting really interesting, I thought. Mm-hmm. And they gave me funny stuff to do. You know, nobody else got to do fun. I got to do funny stuff. So I felt like, wow, I it's great. I've never gotten to do that before. I've gotten to be funny on funny shows and series and stuff, but never had to do that. You know. A drama, so
comedy really.
It's a dream job. It's the absolute dream job for an actor to get this kind of part. And I feel like at this point in my career, I was like, wow, that was a Hail Mary that came down on that one. So
yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was very, very amazing. So
do you feel like it took fans a little bit longer to warm up to you being a gladiator instead of this assassin?
Yeah, probably. I didn't even believe it either. I was like, really? I'm thinking, look at me. Okay, all right. But I think the connection with Quinn's character for Charlie, I think that opened up a whole new thing for him. I think it made more sense because I think once you saw this vulnerable side of this guy, that he still did bad things, and I don't think he's a redeemable character necessarily. But I think once you saw that he wanted something out of something real in his life, someone to care about, and he has a kid and all that, I think that made him, I guess, plausible as being able to be a gladiator. A gladiator with a little,
with a twist.
With an edge. A little more of an edge. Yeah.
I love that you kind of said that, like, you know, that he was a redeemable character. It's like, how...
They're not. None of them are redeemable, by the way.
None of the characters really are.
No one can pretend that. It's like Seinfeld. When Seinfeld came out, I remember my manager at the time was Julie Dreyfus's manager, and he said, yeah, I'm like, Julie just did this pilot. It's called Seinfeld. And I said, oh, how is it? And he said... You know, it's either they're all hateful characters, and he said it's either going to be the hugest flop ever or a huge hit. I mean, he said this after the pilot. And I was like,
wow.
And they still didn't know after a year, and then it became. At its essence, those people are all terrible people, who are, you know, like basically watching people squirm, and they're just awful. The Scandal people aren't awful, but they are definitely not. Sweet characters. They're just a very.
This is DC. This is DC, where you guys are at. Everyone has a little edge to them.
Wow, man. I think DC may be harder than Hollywood. You know
they say hot take.
They say that high school Hollywood is just more high school, and then they say DC is high school with money. More money. I don't know. I guess something like there's a lot of truth to that.
But speaking of doing like bad things, and your character in particular, you have a lot of torture scenes. You have put it to people.
So I'm
really wanting to know, how did you prepare? Like, what was the mind space you had to get in to pull out, you know, these little tools, or even slap someone with a bag of lemons and oranges?
Well, by the way, it smelled great. Every time I'd hit it, this mist would go out. I was like, aromatherapy. But I didn't necessarily prepare for it. I mean, I would just, you know, I think everyone has I've always been as a kid, I was a little, I liked to burn ants with a magnifying glass. Little boys like to bright things and hurt little insects and like to watch things burn and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I've never sort of grown out of that. So I probably got a vicarious thrill get to do that. No, I don't want to hurt anybody, and I'm the biggest puss ever. I would never. Someone started torturing me, I'd cry. I'd give it up like 3 seconds.
Three seconds.
I'd be the worst soldier. If they torture me, I'm like, I'm done. What do you need to know?
Yeah.
What do you need to know?
Your character. Huck and Jake, I think, have like outlasted some crazy torture scenes where I'm like, could it be me?
There might be some stuff coming up too. So, anyway, it's so I didn't really prepare necessarily for that, but it wasn't
a little
that
sinister
hard.
Side.
It wasn't hard to get there. I have really bad road rage. If I get cut off, I don't get out physically doing it.
Right.
But that impulse, it's crazy how that impulse in you, you think you're, I'm a pretty well-adjusted guy. I'm a responsible citizen and all that. And then when someone cuts me off, like especially some person that's sort of like on their phone or and you know, or some, whatever, and they cut me off. They cut me off and turn and flip me off. I go insane. I go to some other place, and my kids and my wife have said, like, calm down, calm down. I'm like, no, and I'll like pull up behind the person. I'm like, what are you? You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. So that part of me, you know, when they say acting, like, how could you ever kill somebody? I'm like, I couldn't kill them, but I know what it would feel like to want to kill somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to sort of get in touch with those moments where you're, it's not a pretty side of your personality. You have to kind of go, not proud of that, but use it somewhere, you know?
That's funny. So, yeah, we've kind of talked about you being a killer, being part of the Gladiators. What has been the most fun to play? I mean, you have to tap into all that angry stuff for when you're
I think it's probably it's probably a little more fun to be the guy out there juking and jiving in, you know, parking structures and hiding bodies and stuff. That's more stuff. Active and more fun. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in the Gladiator room on computers working on stuff, it's fun, but it's not quite as active, I wouldn't say, as the previous stuff.
Right.
It's so fun in a different way, but, you know.
Cool. I like that. I mean, those are definitely the interesting scenes for us. Although the many of the scenes that have taken place inside of the boardroom where you guys are clicking away, it's like you come to the most, like, crazy conclusions just from two clicks. It's like, oh, we've gotten into his offshore account, and all of a sudden everything's solved.
Listen,
and I'm
I mean, I guess somebody knows how to do that. I mean, you know. There are people out there that do this. This is terrifying, but I mean, we just assume that Huck and Charlie have known how to do this stuff, and Katie, we all are like, oh yeah, no, you go over there.
Real quick, both of you.
Sometimes you just go, we look at Huck, and we're just going bang, 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 bang.
reason in particular, I swear to you, I thought that you killed Frankie Vargas.
Really?
I did.
She was set on that.
I had this huge theory that I, you know, put out there every week. I was like, Charlie did it, guys. I mean, people were tweeting me like, yes, I think Charlie did it too. Because you were, in particular, it was because you were just so in tune on all these little details and knew it before. Like, oh, the FBI deleted this file. Oh, I found this file.
Right.
It was all these things that you were so tech savvy with.
Yeah.
And you ended up not killing. You weren't the killer.
No, my wife still thinks that, and possibly it could be that I'm going to be Cyrus's other gay lover somehow. And I'm like, all right, we'll see what happens.
That'd be that's crossover.
He's had several, but you know, that'd be like a what?
Yeah.
You know, until you said that, I thought after Jake made that move on Melly, we had explored every other relationship possibility. But I guess
like,
not.
I was like, what the what? Yeah, no, that would be a little extra. Be a lecture, right?
Oh my god.
So overall, did you really enjoy playing Charlie's character?
I would say
it's not over yet.
Overall, right. Yes, for four more episodes. Is it three more episodes? It's three, isn't
four.
It?
Or
is it
four?
Four. Yeah. Four. Okay, four. It's been an amazing, amazing character to play. I mean, I know that, you know, I've got a lot more in my career to go, but I don't know how I'm gonna find a part that is this much fun, that has, you know, all the stuff under it, and the funny and the serious and the action and the guns and the and the girl and people watch it. It's like it's got everything going. So I'm just gonna go. I don't know. I'm gonna go under insurance, start selling like, car insurance when I'm done.
I can't see you doing that.
No.
But as you've changed and grown within this character and as an actor overall, I want to know, how do you feel that you have personally evolved as an actor?
You know what? That's an interesting question. More than anything else, I think that, you know, when you go to school to learn how to act, when you're younger and you're 22 years old and you're in acting class and you're like, you're studying these plays and you're like, you think you understand things. You think you understand an emotion. You think you understand a situation, and you intellectually do, but you don't understand it on a life level.
Yeah.
And they said that at the time, like, you won't understand this later. I'm like, yeah, but I got to get this. I got to figure this out.
Right.
Okay.
But you truly don't until you get older, and as you get older, things resonate in your gut in a different way. You know, you look at, you know, great actors, and they have things, a maturity in them, in their sort of essence that, I'd say Kevin Spacey, I know we're all down on Kevin Spacey, but Kevin Spacey's a great actor, and he has this sort of stillness about him. And who else is it? The English actor, Christian Bale, has it.
He's
a great actor, but there's something about them that I want to emulate that quality, and that is a stillness as you get older and you are more mature, that you aren't afraid of being still and just, I don't know how to describe it.
Like, no, I get what you're getting
at. The moment.
Yeah, correct.
And showing your wisdom with saying little.
Or that, and mm-hmm. also, and there's all these other things that happen on a movie set. You know, you get there in the morning, you don't, a lot of times you don't know the people, but and you're nervous and you have to hit your mark and it's, you know, it's late, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and they suddenly turn around and get in your coverage and you've got a long speech. That was one of the hardest things with Scandal, because they would, you know, my character would, they would have always have turnaround, and I would have one scene, and so I'd have to do stuff a lot of times late. And I was like, oh my God, because my brain starts to go at 9 o'clock at night. I'm ready for night at 9:30. And when I have to start, like, really be alive and talk and have a thought at midnight, it's hard for me. So so on Scandal, I think that what I felt like was really great and good to learn was that the ability to have to deliver under some intense circumstances. I did, you know, so.
How far in advance did you guys get the script? Like, could you prepare for those monologues and moments?
Usually, you know, you get them a couple of days ahead of time. But if I was like for Carrie or Jeff or Tony, a lot of times those folks, they have more and more. They would change their speeches the night before or the day of.
Wow.
I usually had a day or two. But you know, Carrie especially, I mean, Jesus, she's had a lot, I don't know.
No,
she's number one on the call sheet. You know,
that's so impressive.
She's there all the time, and I guess you get in a groove and it gets easier. But there's a certain part of your brain that you have that short term memory. You know, if you have to learn, if you're doing a speech or something, you try to remember this little deal, and you know, you talk about it. You say, I got the scene, and then suddenly you take your break for lunch, and you come back and do the other half of the scene, and you're like, what did we just do? But you do it right before you're like, right before lunch, and you go away, and you just go. Yep. That short cache memory, you just gotta jam it back up in there.
That's what the cookies are for.
Caffeine.
So I mean, we're still kind of in the realm of talking about the atmosphere on set. Just tell us about maybe just some fun moments and things that we could never guess that goes on. I've seen you guys on a couple of different shows, like Ellen and Kimmel and things like that, where you guys talk a lot about Joshua Molina being like a prankster. Yeah. Talk about that and just other things we may not know.
He's just an evil guy. He really delights in watching people be uncomfortable. no, I love Josh. But yeah, he has a sense of humor that's it's definitely got a very dark sense of humor. Watches people squirm and kind of likes it, and we're like, I don't know. It's like today we're just nervous what he's going to do. I don't know. That mostly people are we're always goofing around and making fart noises and there's a lot of bodily sounds that happen on the set. As a joke. We're always,
okay. I was going to say, does Tony like the class gas?
No, not for real. We just like to make fun of it. Everyone's making fun of it. We're constantly talking about what we can eat. Katie and Guillermo are constantly eating. It's not good. There's always great food there all the time. So like,
those two seem like just two peas in a pod.
Oh, they are.
Every time
I
see pictures from set, it's like them.
Oh, yeah. They're always. Well, my stuff is kind of gets separated with Katie and then sometimes with Guillermo. But they seem to always just be at work together more.
Right.
Than
mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool that you guys have had so many changes in directors, each episode, and really being able to migrate your actors, your fellow co-stars, into it.
How was that? It was real nice. Yeah, Tony had been directing before, so that was natural for him to come in. And Scott had done a couple, and then he easy for him to come in. And Darby and Carrie and Joe who else?
I didn't realize that
Joe Morgan.
That he directed.
And they had just sort of put in for the last season, it was great. It's great to see everybody and the supportive that the producers and Sean to let folks do that. You know,
that's really cool.
Who was the most fun director?
Who of the actors?
Yeah,
They were all fun in their own ways.
Very PC answer there. I see.
I think I was most surprised by how detail oriented Carrie was, because she's in so many scenes. When she would come up and say, "Okay, I'm just notes about the scene," so here I'm thinking this and blah blah blah, and she would go down this list. Like, when does she have time to do this? Because a director, you know, TV directing is it's all encompassing. You're there many, many hours before and after everyone leaves, and you have to, every single shot, you have to know where everything's going and what everybody's saying and any questions anyone asks, you know, they're coming at you. But I just couldn't believe she was down to Darby too, but Carrie especially, with her acting load at the same time. That's what was kind of freaky to me.
Who was like the strictest director? Like who came in like super serious and
nobody
about
no,
business?
Nobody. They okay. No, I mean they were serious, but they weren't. Yeah. They weren't. You know, being all.
They didn't
too
change.
Serious.
Yeah.
So I actually saw when you guys were filming your last episode that the real Olivia Pope was there. Did you get to meet her?
Judy.
Yes.
Julie. Judy. Yeah, I didn't see her. I just saw her at the wrap party, and then I saw her at a couple of table reads, but I don't think I saw her. I didn't see her on the set while we were shooting, but she must have come down. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. We've kind of talked about that the last few episodes.
She's the real sort of like mysterious figure because she's super. She's not a Hollywood-y type. She's very quiet, like, oh, hey, how are you? Very polite, kind of. You know, I don't want to say she's above it all, but she is sort of like above it all. She's like, oh, this is very nice. This is very nice. Good for you. Good for you. And so where are you going next? She goes, oh, I've got some clients I'm seeing. We've got to go, you know.
Very tight lip.
I go to Addis Ababa for a day, and then we have to go back. I mean, she's like, what does she do?
Right. She's
she does some
fixing.
Very, she
she's
does
handling
very
stuff,
big,
really.
High-powered stuff all over the world, I think, this woman, so.
So she is very similar to Olivia Pope.
Without the
the drama.
Yeah, without the that all drama.
And the white hair.
All the other drama stuff, yeah.
All that stuff.
Without the capes.
Yeah.
Interesting. We kind of debate whether Olivia will make her exit in the same way that Judy did and kind of leave DC and do her own thing.
Yeah, I think it's, you'll see.
Ah, I
got you. Really above.
We're waiting.
Thought we got you.
Don't want to see that.
So,
you can see some stuff.
One of the things that you guys are really big on is interacting with your fans and tweeting and being on social media.
Yeah.
So we found some quite interesting photos of you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In quite curious ways. So we want to kind of have you explain this pic.
Okay.
All right. So if you look up at the monitor.
First one's up.
It looks like spa day with the boys.
Yes. No, you know what? We all, there's this product, there's this eye patch. Because we get, like, in the morning, we get, like, you know, puffy eyes, you know, where it's like, we're like a bunch of little girls. You know? So we get straight there and get the eye patches on to settle down the eye bags. Right. And we got a nice
some cucumbers and
it's
some
like superhero eye bag the trio there. Yeah.
How funny. Funny would that be if after a long night of like torturing someone, you come into the scene the morning after
it's
like
oh, I'm exhausted
me and
from hurting someone so much.
We're depuffing.
What a hard life.
Yes.
Okay, next pick.
Caption this. You know, we probably right? were. I was looking in his ear for
secrets
for brain cells. No. He's the smartest guy. Maybe the smartest guy. No, I don't know what we were doing. He was saying something, and we got a weird picture.
Darby looks like she's about to like snap his neck.
She's
or something.
Like, I'm gonna snap your neck.
Yeah. And you're like, let me watch and see.
I honestly
happens.
Can't remember. I think we were just doing something silly.
Yeah.
Maybe I said, did you just fart? Maybe it was that one.
I love that.
And
next
Darby's
picture.
Like, yep.
That was Joe Morton giving me a back massage. Jeff is looking for someone to throw him a sweet tart. It was down at Facebook Live. I think it was a Facebook Live event.
Oh, fine.
And they said, here, put these glasses on. Get in front of the screen. We were just being silly. I was like, help. Yeah. Something.
It's great to see you guys out of character. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like them in their natural habitat. Next picture. I think we have one more.
Yes. That was at Vulture Fest.
Oh, it's a
Vulture.
We were there. I did not see that.
Yeah.
The eagle. Yeah.
That was a real vulture.
Wait, that's a real vulture?
Yeah. I see the real terror in your eyes as well.
It pecked my neck pretty hard.
Wait, are you serious?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine?
I'm not being that close, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to go with it, but look at actor.
Yeah, come on now.
So good. Oh, my God.
I love that.
That's funny.
Well,
that's
always picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So we do have one more game we want to play with you. But before we get into that, I do want to talk just a bit more about where the end of this season is going.
Mm.
We do only have 4 episodes
yes.
left.
Yeah.
So you got to spill something. Come on.
Well, I'm definitely in trouble. And I've been incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. That much we
that's
know.
When, that, right. And that's pretty much pretty incarcerated for a couple episodes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A couple. At least. Yeah. At least. There's four more. Yeah, so I'm at least pretty incarcerated. Mm. And not having a good time.
We do this thing at the end of each of our shows where we do predictions.
Uh-huh.
And with that, we take the information that we got from that show and a little snippet of the preview, and we say what we think.
Uh-huh.
And so it's fun. So I think that we should do a little bit of it.
Okay.
Okay.
And you should participate.
Okay. You should participate.
You'd be the closer and tell us what actually happened. But what I just thought about with you just saying that you're going to be there for a few episodes is kind of circling back to the whole Olivia Pope needing to save the day how she's kind of been like pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of like they're going to each need her at a certain point. And maybe she's going to be the one to get you out of prison.
She could be.
Oh. That would be deep. After everything she did to Quinn, to have to beg for her help.
That's what makes me think that would be such an interesting dynamic. Because you weren't exactly a fan of working for her or helping her out in any way, even if it was for the greater good. Last episode, you went on a rant to Quinn.
Listen, man. Yeah,
about it.
She seemed like she's all out for her. All out for her.
Like, this Olivia Pope.
I don't care what happens over here. Yeah, that's right. Cosign.
That would be deep. But you know what's funny too? Yeah. Like you just said, like in the instant, the script could change. So you honestly don't know what's going to happen, right?
No!
It's finished.
Oh, it's finished. Yeah. No, it is. It's finished.
Couldn't be more unemployed right now. Go ahead.
Oh my god!
Couldn't be more unemployed. Yeah.
So okay. I'm kind of stuck on, and the fans are stuck on death. We really think someone's going to die. I'm pretty sure Cyrus or Jake is going to die. That's what I'm predicting.
I second that.
Yeah.
Let's just say this. There are a lot of people who deserve to die on the show.
Yeah.
Definitely. More
but
than one or two.
Will anyone die?
I would say that it's pretty surprising what I read and what we shot.
Okay.
So because someone did die?
It seems like they might, but they might not.
Do you think the fans will be satisfied with that?
I think some fans will be happy with some of it, and some fans will be frustrated with some of it, and some fans. You know, I think it's going to hit a lot of people in a lot of ways. That's not for an answer.
That's something. Yeah, I'll let you go with that one. Because I think about iconic shows that have ended, like Lost. It was on for forever, and so many people were upset about the way it ended.
Right.
It left so many questions. Just shows like that, and the fans needing that kind of closure.
Yeah, because
I feel like we were lucky to get a season 7. So to kind of wrap it up, we're really all just wanting that happy ending, whatever it looks like for these people.
I think it's well done. I will say that it's well done.
Okay.
Trust you. I don't think you're left going, well, it's not one of those. It's very well done.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I kind of do feel like they're giving us little inches, to closure. Because even that one episode where Olivia when she resigned from chief of staff, that kind of felt like that could have been an ending.
Yeah,
that
right?
was such a power episode.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Any other predictions from you? I mean, I'm still stuck on Cyrus dying or somebody.
Someone dying.
Cool. Actually, one more question that actually from the booth that the engineer wanted to know want to know. Besides, obviously, you love Charlie. Who are your other favorite characters on the show? Where you're like, I would love to play that.
I love Hollis Doyle's character so much.
Oh, yes.
So
oh my
fun.
God.
Yes.
So fun. Yeah, he just
terrible.
Nails that part so well. And I love Mama Pope.
Yes.
I think she's such a great actress.
Sinister.
Does stuff with that. And then also, I've been in awe. Everybody does such a good job. But one person that I'm always in awe of at the table readings is Jeff Perry, because he's an acting teacher. He's from Chicago, and I went to school in Chicago. And he has such a way about when he reads things for the first time. It's like, and he's never seen it before, and he says them out loud, and his cadence is so interesting that I'm like,
you sound like him too.
I know. Yeah. And he just goes into this thing, and we all just have to watch him go. God, it's like it's really we could just shoot this right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's just really an extraordinary actor, and I love watching him work. But
That's cool.
And his character is so
agreed,
so well drawn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. All right, well, we know the Scandal characters pretty well, but we don't know the cast as well as you probably
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a fun little game okay. called Scandal Class of 2018.
Okay. Or
Class of Season 7, I guess. Sure. This is the last yeah. one.
Okay.
And we're gonna throw out some, like, superlatives of, like, best dressed or
okay.
funniest, whoever.
Okay.
And you got to fill that in with okay. your with the actual actors,
okay,
though.
Okay,
not
okay.
like Fitz, but
okay,
Tony
sure,
Goldwyn.
Sure, sure,
got
sure.
it?
Got it.
Cool. So I'll start with best dressed.
In real life? It just in real best
in real
dressed?
Life.
Oh,
yes.
I would have to say Darby Stanchfield.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. She's a clothes horse. Yeah. And Carrie, but maybe Darby more.
Okay.
In weird,
okay.
It just, she's really
into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Class clown.
Pardon?
Class clown.
I think everyone says Josh, but I'd have to say Scott Foley.
Oh, yeah.
I get accused a little bit of it, but it's in a people think I'm weird funny. I'm less conventional funny, but just kind of strange and weird funny. That's mm-hmm. so.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Strange weird clown, I guess. So.
All right. So prom king and queen.
Prom king and queen. Huh. Well, I mean, Tony and Carrie.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I think that's pretty right there.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Most likely to get their own spinoff.
Oh, Charlie. Me. No. Me, definitely. Me, definitely. George. Yep, 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 yep. I'll just leave put my name and number at the bottom of this telecast. I don't know. Gosh. Carrie, Darby's, sorry. Bellamy's already got a pilot, and Scott's doing a
really?
Show. Scott's doing a show for ABC. It's actually a funny spy thing. A half hour single camera. He's shooting in Prague and Paris right now.
Oh my gosh. We did not know.
I'd have to say he's got the coolest job right now.
Yeah.
But it looks really for the guy who did. I guess I can say this, right? It's out. Yeah, it's in the trades. It said the guy who did. Bill Lawrence, who did Scrubs, the mm-hmm. guy who ran that
Dope.
Show, that's who's running this. This is going to be good.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be really good.
Well, if it's following that humor, I'm sure it'll
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny. And he gets to be, he's not so serious Jake, and he gets to be, like, you know, running and gunning, funny spy guy.
So I
think that's going to be good.
Pilot?
He's a star.
Bellamy.
Oh, and Bellamy's in another, yes, in a show. It's shooting in Texas, and I don't know what it's about.
Oh, Texas, oh what?
Jeff Perry's got something for CBS All Access, something. It's a recurring thing on something. And then I think the rest of us are looking for a gig. And then Carrie's running Hollywood. That's a whole separate
thing. I mean,
Carrie's got a studio.
She does
that
in her sleep. So.
Yeah, no. She's very, very ambitious, that. She's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Most athletic.
Yeah. Most athletic. I think Tony. Tony's, yeah, Tony came up to...
Oh.
We have a place up in San Ynez, and we went on a biking tour, and he just crushed me and my brother just on the bike. He does a Peloton thing.
Oh, I can see that.
I just, wow. I mean, I thought I was in pretty good shape, and he just was like, "Goosh!" He just killed us. Killed us. Yeah.
Wow. Life of the party.
Life of the party. Life of the party. Let's say Josh probably. He's funny, makes everybody laugh. Yeah, and then everyone go Josh. Who's that? And Katie's always a. I'd say Katie's a life of the party. I'd say Katie's a life of the party.
Love that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So who has the best bromance going on?
Bromance. I'd say Scott and Josh.
Scott and Josh. Okay. See, I would never put those two together.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, but they have a lot of stuff together. And when they get together, it's pretty, they cut up pretty bad.
Okay.
Best shoulder to cry on.
Best shoulder to cry on. Carrie.
Aww.
I would say Carrie.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Most likely to brighten your day?
Jeff Perry.
Okay.
Most opinionated?
Most opinionated, I would say... Josh, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Biggest flirt?
Biggest flirt? Oof. I don't think any. It's not that kind of show. It's not that kind of thing.
No flirts. Good. I think
it's not that.
Everyone's
not
like
that
in
way.
Relationships.
Yeah.
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 Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if that was just something, if there was a, Bellamy, I'm just thinking who's single. There's like Bellamy's the only single person there, and she's
not a flirt.
Yeah.
Not flirty. Yeah, not that flirty.
That's good. We appreciate it. So just with you, like, what are the, you know, your next moves? I know you said that everyone's looking for work right now.
Right, right.
But what's next for you? Or what would you like to
You know what I'd
next?
Love to do? I'd love to do a single camera half hour show. It would be great. Like, that is comedic, but, you know, not a sitcom.
Right.
A single camera half hour would be great. I would love that. And I do a lot of voiceover stuff still, so I just keep doing that.
That's
so
good. Yeah. That's kind of where you start.
Yeah, that's my side thing. I just kind of do on the side, so I keep doing that.
Do you think you'll return back to movies?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I don't know many people doing that many movies.
Yeah.
It's
TV's
weird.
Like they don't, where it's at.
Yeah. Most writers are actually just, everyone's trying to do television that's like a Netflix movie is really a television movie, or a Netflix series just feels like a movie, but it's a
docu,
it's really, everything's changed dramatically, even in the last 3 years it's changed so much. So when you say movie, it's like, if you were to say, I'd like to go do a movie, that movie, I'd have to be in a superhero movie.
Right.
Yeah, like Marvel, a feature.
Really,
like
no, series or some really big weird thing, you know. Smaller movies are not that around that much anymore, but.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really exciting.
Yeah, thank you. For
it's been so much fun.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're really welcome. Cool. Well, thank you.
This has honestly been a dream, and I know it's been great for everyone who's been riding with the show from season one on. Like, feels
thank
really
you.
Good, and also kind of sad. It's like a bittersweet feeling.
Yeah, it is super
bittersweet.
We were. Well, I guess you saw in the thing, we were in DC doing some stuff, and you know, we bumped into people all over, and they are rapidly excited about the show and sad. I mean, it's like all over DC.
Yeah.
LA's different because people, you know, everything's going on in LA a little more jaded, but DC, it's a centric show about DC stuff, and they were just like incredible. Just like everywhere we went, it was like, wow.
And that's amazing. Bananas. Because so many other shows have popped up that are DC like centered and kind of that vibe, but Scandal has been on for so long and has had that strong fan base, and like, we have such a love for the show.
Oh, wow.
So to have that keep going is, it feels amazing.
We were at the Smithsonian portrait, one of the portrait galleries thing, the three of us, and it was just, it was a little nuts. It was nuts.
Wow.
How many folks
Do people stop you a lot?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they like kind of, you know, notice, but leave you alone.
No, wait. Yeah. I mean, they don't get mobbed or anything, but I mean, it's this show definitely, than all the other things, more people have seen this, and that's fun. That's fun. No one really bothers me. So
I saw Jeff Perry one time at the airport. He was just casually just walking.
Oh, sure.
You know,
and
I was like, oh, I love it. You know,
I saw Mama Pope at Whole Foods. I was so intimidated.
You saw who at Whole Foods?
Mama Pope. I can't remember her real name. Yeah.
Candy.
Like last month she did.
Yeah. I was so intimidated. I'm like, oh my God, Mama Pope.
She was on that show CSI Miami for like a whole like seven, eight years. She was like a but yeah, she's great. She's so
fabulous.
Good.
She's always badass whenever she does.
Man, so intense. So intense, but and Dan Bukatensky's a friend, and there have been so many good people on this show. Michael O'Neill, this guy who's you've seen him. Plays what's his character's name? He's been on the last five episodes, but you might not have seen. No, never mind. Maybe you haven't seen him yet.
Googling that later. In the meantime, it's been so great having
you. Thank you for having me. Yep.
Yes. Just tell our viewers where they can find you and keep up with you on social media, any of your handles or anything.
Yeah,
at
Twitter, it's at George Newbern on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what my Instagram is. I think it's at
George Newbern.
I believe
it's
George Newbern.
George Newbern. Yeah, that's it. It's pretty right there. Right there. But the name is George Newbern. That's right. Yeah.
Dope. All right, guys. Well, tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW and on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams.
You guys can find me everywhere at Paris Rose with two R's.
You guys can find me on all social media at Tessa_Saval.
And you guys can find me all over social media at Christine Bean with three E's. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Scandal.
Yes.
Same place, same time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Are you having anybody else coming? Are you're going to...
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.